Hi, I'm Terry Williams, president of One United Bank. We're proud to announce One United Money Moves, our smarter person-to-person payment experience. Send payments in real time without delay, not in an hour or a day, but right away. And it includes proactive security. You're protected with One United Bank. We keep breaking records to empower you. So join me at oneunited.com today.
The only podcast coming through your beat stereo is Terry's World, so let's go around like a merry-go. Plug your phone in, make sure it got a full battery. Download it Wednesday, listen to it Saturday. She cover all topics, whatever you after. She got ball players, authors, doctors, actors, rappers, singers, entrepreneurs, divas, leaders, Androids or Apple, turn up your speakers. Trying to shoot my shot like the vaccine, whether it's Terry or Maxine, whether the podcast or acting, she that queen. PYT, you know what that mean. Saw you on TV and touch the screen, touch on you. I plead Lucy's got a crush on you. It'll mean the world to get a blush from you. Teaspoon to me, leave you sleep like Robitussin do.
What's up, y'all, and welcome to Cherry's World Podcast. I am Cherry Johnson. You will notice that my co-host and show's producer, Mr. Courtney Blackman, is not here today. And that is simply because he has gone back to school to further his education. And it is finals week. So root my boy on, send out that good juju while he get them good grades. But I am here with my homeboy who you have met here before. His name is Mr. Michael Sterling. Since the last time you saw him, Michael Sterling has become the king of Tubi. What's up, king of Tubi?
Hey, man, I liked it. That sounds pretty cool, the king of Tubi. You know, we're about to call something with this.
I mean, you are the king of Tubi. You got Behind the Poles. You got Harvey. You got He's for the Streets, which we're here to talk about today. You got Pax and a couple others we ain't even going to talk about yet. And some more coming. Your film is like number one. It's the first thing you see when you go on Tubi. Congratulations.
Man, thank you so much, man. It wasn't just me. It was the team. It was a team effort. So, yeah.
And you have put together one hell of a team. Can you tell me what inspired you to make this film, He's for the Streets?
All right. So to be honest, we was looking at, me and my producer, Alexis Robbie, we was looking at a lot of the movies that was on Tubi because we got the same agent, you know, and we was like, man, we can make something like that. And then he actually came up with the idea. Oh, what you think about this? He's for the Streets. And then it'll be this. I said, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. I would normally write. I said, I'm going to get a female to write this. We both hired a female out of Dallas to write this script. And then we was going back and forth with our agent about it. And she was kind of like, look, structured like this, structured like this, structured like this, and you're going to win. So sometimes, it's okay to listen. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to listen. It's okay to, and as males, it's okay to listen to the female that got a voice. And so we listen to her and we winning right now. So
give us a short synopsis about what He's for the Streets is about.
I'm gonna make it short, but I don't want to give away.
Yeah, don't give too much away.
So it's about a guy, a club owner. And he kind of gets in over his head trying to, you know, date different women, trying to be a player, but then he date the wrong one. Mm. And that's the most I can get because that is a broad situation. A lot can happen when you date the wrong person.
You know what? As I'm watching He's for the Streets, of course, I know a he that's for the streets. I know a few he's that's for the streets. And I was like, this is really a scenario that can happen to anyone any time. And is it really, I think every player out there, anybody who think they got a little pimp juice in their blood, they need to watch this because it's real, real, and it get real, real.
Especially in these hard times right now. So you most definitely want to watch it. My actor did a wonderful job. The actual main actor, Justin, I handpicked him.
That was my question. I wanted to know how you selected the cast for the movie and what qualifications were you looking for?
So I did have a casting director, Bella, But some of the people were hand selected. Like Justin, I knew he was the one. And Justin was like, hey, this other girl I know, Raven, I'm telling you, you should give her a look. I said, you know what? He really know his character. He might be really throwing me an alley hoop with this one. And then we did a casting with her, and I said, okay. So it was kind of runners up with her. But then Jessica Caesar, when she came in, she smashed it because she had this certain type look to her that was totally different from what everybody came in. I'm not knocking some of the girls that came in, but they all had this certain look with long hair and all this. I was like, you know, that's cool, but she had this certain look to her. And then when she delivered them lines, I said, that's her.
And Jessica's the one that we're not going to get to meet today, right?
She's actually on set, yeah.
Wow, she did a tremendous job.
Nice.
I remember, that was one of the things that I wanted to tell her. I remember after her audition, you called me.
Right.
And you were like, we found her. Can you tell me what it is when you're watching auditions or you're meeting these actors that makes you be like, oh, that's it right there?
So it's really them feeling the character and everything just matching up from how they delivering the lines to just their appearance. And they just doing that on the spot. So
right.
Once you put them in the game and start coaching them and getting them how you want them, they just smash it. And like I say, when she came through, it was actually two people. When she came through, I shut the rest of the audition. I said, bro, there's no use in wasting these other people's time. That's how she killed it. And then there was another guy, Mr. Harrington. It was people that came before him. And he came. I happened to just be standing outside I'm just taking a water break outside of the casting office. And he was walking up. I said, that must be him. He had a linen suit on and everything. He came in. Look, he came in. He walked right past me. I said, how you doing? What you here for? I'm here for Mr. Harrington. I'm going to get the part. And I just need y'all to
give me. And that's what he said?
Yeah. And he said, I just need y'all to give me my shooting date and time. And I'll let y'all know if I do it or not. And Justin was right there. We all looked. He did it. Nailed it. Piped up. He just nailed it. I said, okay, that's our guy.
That is hilarious. So he came in fully. So you like confident, slightly cocky. That didn't turn you off at all.
Man, he came in. He knew that's what I want. I want somebody to know the part. They know the role. They know it. And he came in. He knew it. And he knew he was going to get it. Like he came in like, dude, I got that. And it was like, man, I got your back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So I am a Michael Sterling fan. I have been watching your films, critiquing your films, been there from day one, right? I saw so much growth. I definitely, this is the most pleasing of the eye. It is shot beautifully. The colors are brilliant. What do you feel that you did different when you directed this one than with the others?
What I did different from the other ones was I took time to really, you know, get the business straight. I really took time with the casting. We strategically put this thing together. I took a little more time with it
too. Like your cinematographer did an amazing job.
Right.
What did you shoot on? Did you study your camera shots? Like what's different?
So we didn't really have time to really study the camera shots, but he actually knew his camera. So that made things a lot better. Reason why we didn't really get a time to really study the camera shots because we didn't get a chance to do a lot of walkthroughs because some of the locations had changed multiple times. So we didn't get a chance to do that. But the cinematographer, the DP did a real decent job. And so that's my thing. Every time I do a film, I want to just keep getting better and better and better and better and better. And not talking about the people from the last film because I feel like they did a good job. But then, you know, you just want to keep growing.
Well, I see that you said the cinematographer knew his camera, right? Yeah. So are you finding that a lot of new, young, independent filmmakers are just buying these cameras and going out and shooting without really getting completely familiar with them?
Yeah, I would say 90% of them. And I mean, you know, nothing is wrong with it.
It is something.
But you do. Well, the reason why I say nothing is wrong with it, because anytime when you first get something, you still got to learn. The thing is to, you know, try to master it. So I wouldn't advise someone who just bought a camera to just jump out there and take on a project this size like that until you're ready, until you know your camera. You get what I'm saying? So take your time, learn your craft, study your craft, and really feel it. I mean, you ain't got to take every job. So let's just go to Justin, my main character. He took his time to understand and study that character. Every time I seen Justin, he always had something to say about different lines, different parts. Hey man, do you mind if I change this? Do I change that? Because you know it flowed in your door. I'm like, that's what I'm glad. That's why you got that script. That script is not supposed to be looking pretty. That script's supposed to be your workbook. And he was marking it up, doing little stuff, but it made sense. He wasn't just doing it. It made sense. So he took his time to you know, try to master his craft, which I like that, because when everybody do that, it's going to come out good.
I love the fact that you just said you don't have to take every job, because you know me.
You like, don't, you do not take every job. I didn't have some stuff for you. Nah.
As much as I love to work, as much as I want to work, it's not just you. Like my agent, two times this week, I was like, you know, I hope that you're not upset with me and you don't stop reaching out for me, but this is not for me. Like some things are just not for me. So what is for you? Like, I know jobs come to you too, and you don't take every job.
Oh no.
So how do you decide what you're gonna do and what you're not gonna do?
It's like a feeling. You know what I'm saying? You gotta feel it. It's almost like let's just say a rap. If you comfortable, and it's not always good to be comfortable. Sometimes it's always good to try something new, but you want to still be pretty decent at it. So if you're, let's just say if you're a rapper and they coming to you, they want you to sing a country song, and you never sung, and you never, and you, so singing is one thing, and then a country song is another, you're probably going to turn it down. You know what I'm saying? Because you want to do it right. Even though it's a challenge, you want it to be right.
Right.
My opinion.
I understand that. So you talked about the cinematographer really knowing his camera. What kind of camera was it shot on?
So it was shot on a Blackmagic 4K, no, 6K pocket cam.
Those little cameras pack a mighty punch. I noticed the color variations. And for me, it was like the lighting, I think, on this film is beautiful.
Thank you.
It's like picture pretty. I was really proud. I was like, come on, Michael, what challenges did you have, like upping the bar from just, I saw a growth from PAX, which I'm in, and it's on TV, to this. I saw a huge growth and a difference.
I'm going to say organization. I mean, we you know, behind the scene in the kitchen, it was a lot of spaghetti and grease and stuff on the floor, believe that. But when we brought everything out to the table, we presented it. So that kitchen, it was dirty in that kitchen. It was dirty in that kitchen. It was clean. The food was clean, but it was messy. You know, it was messy. So but when we came out that kitchen, we was clean.
So were there any specific like moments in the movie that you found to be particularly either challenging or rewarding?
I will start with my two favorite scenes. And one of them don't even have dialogue. So when Dawn Raven, that's her real character, when she was in the wheelchair, that was really touching. You know what I'm saying? Like she got the bad end of the stick. She got the bad end of the
deal. Don't tell too much.
Be good. She got the bad end of the deal. And when Justin went to go see her, when Jay went to go see her, that hospital scene, I really felt like for that to be his first time acting, I handpicked him. That was his first time ever acting. He really did great.
He did. Yeah. And, you know, that's always a concern. I'm one of those people who be looking at people's IMDb. And I do remember him because he's handsome. So I remember him from, like, a music video that he did and stuff. But then I was like, okay, but can he pull off carrying a whole film? And he did it, and he did a great job. In fact, I did notice, and I can bring this up because it's me and you. I did notice that there was a scene in the trailer, and I hated it. And then when I watched the movie,
I know what you're talking about.
I didn't see it. So what made
that person's first time acting too?
Really? I'm not trying to talk about anybody or anything. But what made you decide, okay, that's not going to make the film?
So when you keep seeing these different cuts, you know, like how you see one thing, like, oh man, that looked good. You see this, it looked good. You see this, it looked good. And as it get better and better, you're like, well, that wasn't so good compared to this. So let's put that to the side, see if we can still deliver the story. And it did. So the movie would have been longer. We cut a lot of stuff.
Well, I watched it and I was so proud. And I was like, and I felt bad. I was like, is it because I complain so much? But then I was like, you know what? The story moves along beautifully. Dawn Raven in the house. She is from Germany. And her debut into the industry was through print and commercials. Yes. And she was a runway model as a child. She began acting at the Roxy Theater at the hometown of Clarksville, Tennessee. I had to throw that in there. I know you're here to talk about He's for the Streets, right? But before we really get into it, I want to talk about Tennessee for a moment.
Yes. And it's crazy. I'm actually here. I flew in last night to visit my family for Easter. So I'm actually in my parents' home currently instead of my apartment in LA. So yeah, my dad is a military man. So that's why I was born in Germany. We were there for very many years. But after I was born, we shortly moved. He was military. So we got stationed in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, which is right on the borderline of Tennessee. So we made Tennessee home for 25, 26 years. But I left at the age of 17. I went off to college, but Tennessee has always been somewhere that I can come back home to. My parents have moved to Texas, which is originally where they're from, but we just have a big foundation here in Tennessee.
Wow. Well, my heart goes out to Tennessee. I'm a mother and I'm a homeschool mom. So anytime something happens with children, my heart breaks. Yeah. What is the tone like there right now? And how do you feel about gun control and these crazy school shootings?
It is. My mom actually works in education. So she started as, you know, a middle school teacher. She became a principal. And now she works at what they call central office as she is the head of high schools of the entire district in Clarksville, Tennessee still. So this is something that, you know, she is deeply affected by. You know, my mom is very passionate about children, about, you know, just developing kids and knowing that you're bringing in kids that come from all walks of life and just trying to benefit them all, you know. So, you know, Tennessee has always been what Tennessee is, you know, and very lax in those type of laws. And so I like it actually as I was landing in BNA, which is the international airport here, it was completely shut down from every direction because Kamala Harris was actually leaving. So it was just locked up in every direction. Me and my dad were like, what's going on? I'm like, it must've been a wreck or something. And then we see like 9 or 10 police cars. Everything was like blocked by police because Kamala, and I'm like, is a president here? So I go in, I'm like, Kamala actually came and visited with those lawmakers.
Oh, wow. So
I like that those two Black men are making a buzz. And that's what I commend, you know, as people actually standing for what they feel is right and fighting against all odds. And it's what we have to do as Black Americans in this country. But I'll talk about the rights of kids that affects all walks of life. So I'm happy people are fighting for that. And it's just, I mean, unfortunate doesn't even do it justice to even say. It's just mental and just a critical thing that's happening here. But I'm glad there are people who are standing up for what's right.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I hate to start the interview with such a heavy tone, but as I was researching you, I was like, oh my God, she's a Tennessee girl. This touches home. Yeah, and I think it's something that Cherry's World Podcast is all about, humanizing, right? And humanizing the celebrity and how things that happen in this world affect us so much. So thank you for sharing and being open and heartfelt.
Thank you for asking the question.
Absolutely. So military, has the military upbringing given you any training to prepare you for entertainment?
Yeah, I mean, it's structure. So it didn't matter if it was a Monday where we're getting ready for school or if it was a Saturday where I was a teenager who wanted to sleep in. My dad is up at 8 a.m. eating breakfast. It was all about being productive throughout the day. And I think we know the grind of this industry. Like, we all get 24 hours, right? And how much can you pack into that 24 hours? So it's built me for the stamina that it takes to succeed in this, you know, in this industry from a very young age, because you need that nonstop. Obviously, sleep is healthy on the body. I'm all about like health. But yeah, I mean, I that's a military, that's a hustle. That's a grind, right? What is the industry? It's a hustle. It's a grind, you know? And so starting your day in a positive mental state and, you know, facing adversity, keeping a push forward. I am an ex-professional basketball player too, but that's also a foundation that my father built in us. My brother was a basketball player. So that, you know, I feel like those worlds they kind of run in tangent, you know? It's like they're exactly the same if you apply the mentality. So yes, absolutely. You know, I'm up at 6 a.m. Even now when Michael hit me, he was like, hey, it's going to be 10 a.m. Well, that's, you know, 8 a.m. in L.A. and I'm already up. I have a 5:30 a.m. prayer group that I start with. So, but I think that starts with my dad. He's like, get your day started, put something in your body and let's get rocking. And that always included a workout. But yeah, so just it helped me with the stamina that it takes to actually succeed and push forward in this industry for sure.
I love that you say that, because a lot of new actors think this is a 9-to-5. And it's not. And then they want to make up excuses of why they didn't succeed. And such has to be satanic and Illuminati.
Right.
Because they work sometimes 16, 18 hours a day. Like, there's no joke. Mm-hmm. What would you tell the actor or entertainer who is thinking about dabbling in the job, but doesn't quite have that much stamina?
I would say then it wouldn't be the career choice for you if it's something that you can't fully commit to. Obviously, everything, people have destiny. Some people step right into this industry. And I think a lot of people have this idea that that's how it is. Oh, I'm talented. I may be beautiful. You know, it's something I'm super interested in. Think they can step in and just, you're up to the top. No, you know, a lot of people that we're seeing on TV have 15 years of independent work. 15 years of networking before you even hit that first network credit. It takes that. And like it's 90% no for the 10% yeses. So if you can't sustain through that, if you're not somebody who has that ability to persevere, to push through, and think it's something that is just, it's easy and it's glamorous, it's not. Even when you book, you're on set long hours. It's no telling, you know, what you may deal with, whether it be weather, whether it be anything, you know, it's like, it's something that you got to love. I feel like if you love it, it doesn't feel like work, you know, you understand what it is, but if you don't love it, if you're not willing to commit your life to it, I won't say it's impossible, but it's very unlikely that you'll get to what you want to, you know, want to be. You got to love this. Absolutely. Like, you got to love it through the hardest of times. Like, I've been doing this since I was a little girl, and I'm only right now being able to really explore my artistry the way that I've always dreamed of. And I'm only touching the tip of the iceberg. So it's a long time coming. And then when you get these wins, you just got to relish in them for a hot second, but you're on to the next.
And let's talk about wins. You said that you're a professional basketball player.
Yes.
How you feel about my girl Angel and all this?
I love her. I love her passion. I love it. I grew up with an older brother. So like she said, she played with the boys. That's where I grew up outside when kids actually played outside. You remember those days, right?
Yes.
I grew outside playing with the boys too. And that's just the culture of the game. You know, if you don't really understand the sport on the outside looking in, you're like, wow, you know, it's the same. It gets physical. Sometimes you bump chest to chest with somebody and everybody's like, oh, it's a fight. No, it's just passion for the game. It's just the will to win, you know? And I think because we're women, we always are also limited to like having to live in this standard of what is acceptable by a woman. And I'm like, that also applies to sport. No way. No way. We're out there fighting. Injury comes with that. So you put your body on the line. It's like military. It's like a war. You go out there for war. So that stuff is an outer body experience. You're not purposely out there just, no, you're passionate about what you got going on. You're passionate about a big win, to win a national tournament. That is not easy. That is not easy. That's like winning an NBA finals. They'll tell you, like, you get there and you lose that one game. Like you never know if you'll get there again. And so many people don't. I played collegiate basketball. Did I ever fight for a national championship? No, I never got to the Final Four. I never got to. So what she did is like, like a 1%, honestly, for as many girls that play basketball. So it's passion. And you know how they do us. They make it seem like we're just aggressive. Mm-hmm. No, that's a passionate woman. And that's how she expressed herself. Get over it. Because what she's doing to the game, even what Caitlin Clark is doing to the game, she's changing the game forever. And it's uplifting women's basketball. That's the part that I'm happy about. It's like, Now we got a platform.
And Caitlin's so unbothered. Like, she's like, if it was me, I would have done the same glow.
Exactly.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Whatever her expression would have been, like, she understands an athlete, somebody who's been in those situations, we see it. You know, some people... I think she was more passionate than what I would have been on the court, but I don't look at it like, oh my God, like, ew, why was she? No, I'm like, wow, she's tough, man.
Are you kidding? I'm on the sidelines. I can't play for nothing in the world, but I love the game, right?
Yeah.
So I'm on the sidelines screaming like, I'm y'all.
Yes. Yes. And that's what it's for. That's what it's about. And it's like acting. It's a form of entertainment. You know, people come and pay to see a show. They're putting on a show. Love it or hate it, they're putting on a show.
So talk about entertainment. Let's get to your audition.
Yes.
What was the tone in the audition like?
So, you know, when you first start auditioning, there's this level of nerves. I always, because I'm such a basketball player, I'm like, I always go into my auditions with this Kobe Bryant mentality. I'm like, okay, I don't care who's in there. I'm the best in the room. Okay, it's like when I step on the court, I don't care if LeBron's on the opposite end of me. In my mind, I'm the best in the room. So it's kind of that. And I loved it because Michael and everybody that was in the room, they gave me space to play, you know? So they gave me some good directorial notes and just like, it was a comfortable space for me to play. So after my first read, it was kind of like, let's do this, you know? So I had a really good time. And then Justin, who plays Jason, the lead, is a really good friend of mine. We go back years.
So he was
reading opposite of me. So we already have that chemistry as really great friends. So that obviously helped me, you know, to feel super comfortable in that room. But everybody made it an extremely comfortable experience. And I went in there and I was Lexi. Me and her are not a lot alike in some ways, but we do have some similarities. But I was Lexi when I was in that audition.
So I got a call after your audition.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from Michael. Michael, do you remember that call?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you got it. You got to tell me about it.
Tell her about it.
Well, of course you did good. I was like, we got it. Period. Like, we got it. So I even had some of that stuff on my phone because I don't know if you was watching me. I was recording. You had on some white pants.
It's funny because they did the audition at a studio, the acting studio that I trained at for very many years. So I've been in that very room, actually in acting.
Oh, class. So you was. Oh well, that's a.
Yeah, I trained. I trained at AMAW for like 4 or 5 years. I did.
Oh wow, wow.
Michael, what was it about her audition when she left that room that you were like, "That's it"?
Because now that I know that you and Justin had a long chemistry or whatnot, now it makes sense. Because like you say, the character is opposite of you from what I met. And I was like, man, she killed this. compared to everybody that came through, you really came in with that attitude. Like, I got it, because you left with it. Like, you left that impression. But now it's all making sense. It's all, that's why I'm sitting here quiet. I'm like, now it all is adding up now. Do tell.
I love the fact that you didn't even realize that she was so comfortable because she had been there so many times. And I think comfort totally makes a difference. Confidence totally makes a difference. Slightly cocky is a turn on to so many, and it totally makes a difference. And I think you can feel the air as soon as you walked in. You said that you walked in as Lexi. So what did you do to prepare?
I think that's actually a part of the success too, is preparation, you know, just making sure that you get in your body with these lines. And sometimes, especially with script writers who are just true to the story, sometimes it's not so much about the script, but making sure you get the story across. Mm-hmm. So just finding my similarities with Alexi, even in the verbiage in which she used, like, how do I make this more comfortable coming out of my body? So I do all of my adjustments and my scripts when I study. I'm writing my notes, just making things where I can feel like I have embodied this character and did this character justice.
And so done, just to cut in. So Cherry, mm-hmm. like every time we say cut, done, be like, how was it? Did I do? I was like, you did good. And I think in her mind, she was like, he's not really telling me nothing, but you telling you, I'm seeing it. I don't want, you know, I'm not going to keep going. Like, I'll let you know, hey, look, that was trash. Real, that was trash. She was hitting it every time. It's like, I want to say, but I don't want to tell too much of the story.
Right.
But because I almost gave it away just a few minutes ago when I said one of her favorite parts. Thank you for catching me, because I was like, I almost kept going, because I was like, I like how she, you know what I'm saying? But I'm glad you caught that. So it was like, I didn't have to really keep telling, but it's all adding up. She done had a lot of training. Like I say, she walked in there and took the role. So it's all adding up. And that's why she delivered the way she did.
So I believe I'm really hard on Michael when it comes to picking his actors. And that's one of the reasons why I got phone calls after, because we're like really good friends. But he was like, I think you're going to be like excited and you're going to love her. And I really do, because I believed you. I believed that you were her. It was so natural. You weren't stretching, you weren't acting, you were reacting, which was beautiful to me. When you were, there was a scene, God, how can I say this? I don't want to give too much away, but there was a scene where you were in the club and you were looking at him, because that's all I'm going to call him right now. Mm-hmm. Him. And you knew that he was, you know, not treating you the way that you deserve to be treated. The look in your eye was so genuinely hurt.
Exactly.
It was so genuinely hurt.
Yes.
Did that come from a place of remembrance? Were you pulling from self with that? Like, I just, as an actor, I want to know, because I was like, oh, she doesn't.
Wait, can I cut in it? I think this is just me. I think she was pulling, Dawn was pulling from some places, because it was all in the face. Like, everything was all in the face. That's just my opinion. I don't know. Yeah. I never asked for nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I think when it comes to love, which is always, it's a topic that we've all experienced, I've had the highs, I've had the lows. But
save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Even in my listening, so that's a lot of what the feeling comes from, is, you know, who you're playing opposite of, you know, so just listening. And I was triggered. Honestly triggered by some of the things, the gaslighting. I've experienced that all too many times, you know, so I was triggered. And for somebody that you deeply care about, that you show, that you stand in truth with and like love with, who just will not see your worth. Like, I think it was just that feeling, understanding that, like, that is what Lexi was experiencing. Yeah, you're angry. You want to project this anger, but that anger is really deeply rooted in like pain, hurt, like deep hurt.
Well, let me tell you.
So yeah, and I've been there. And so listening to Jason or listening to Justin and the words, I was triggered. So it ignited something that I had previously experienced.
Hi, I'm Terry Williams, president of One United Bank. We're proud to announce One United Money Moves, our smarter person-to-person payment experience. Send payments in real time without delay, not in an hour or a day, but right away. And it includes proactive security. You're protected with One United Bank. We keep breaking records to empower you. So join me at oneunited.com today. One United
Bank. I saw it, and talk about perfect timing. Guess who's here?
Who's here?
Justin is in the house.
Just does it.
He's going to come on and be like, what? But look, as your sister, I'll hide your back and I wanted to fight him.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been listening to people like, wow, this man. I'm like.
As soon as I saw that look on your face when you walked back in, I was like, girl, I got you. Give me this butter knife. Because
not the butter knife.
And you didn't even drink your drink. I was like, I'm going to drink her drink. And I'm going to get this butter knife. And I'm
going to throw it back real quick and get to work because he needs it.
Yeah, like, and it's so funny because I don't really watch a lot of TV or movies or films because I don't feel like I identify with the characters. Mm-hmm. But your character, I totally identified with.
Yeah.
I've been there and I wanted to help.
Yeah. I agree. I've been there. I felt for when you watch it back and you watch the film and you can see it outside of yourself. Like I said, I do. There's pieces of Lexi in all women, mm-hmm. you know, but there's other pieces that you just wish she would just react a certain way. You're like, girl, come on, you know, stand up for yourself, you know, but also just empathizing. Cause when you love someone, we've all been in a space when you love someone, you'll do things that maybe you thought you would have never, but in the name of love. So.
Absolutely. Faith, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
I'm having technical difficulties when it comes to you because as an actor, you did a phenomenal job, but you did such a good job. I don't know if I like you.
You know, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know. I think that's the job, you know what I'm saying? To make you feel like, do you really hate this person or not? Or do you really, you know what I'm saying? Is it really just him or is he just acting amazingly? I like to think that I was just acting amazingly.
You were acting amazingly and so amazingly. When the film started, I might have had a crush on you.
Nice, nice.
Yes. And I was like, oh, he's handsome. It's charming. Wait a minute, I don't know if I like him no more. And it was like instant like that. And so seeing today, I'm a little triggered. You know what I'm saying? What has
I mean, I guess that's a good thing, you know. oh man, that's so funny. I'm a pretty solid guy.
You are. So you're nothing like your character, is that what you're telling me?
Well, you know, it's funny, there is some parallels, but it's not the womanizing one. You know, I do think that I was definitely bred to be kind of a ladies man. I was raised by all women in my family. So my mom, her twin sister, her two older sisters, and me and my brother, you know, growing up for the longest, we're only two little guys in our family. We had one uncle, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of feminine energy. So I'm definitely like been taught up. You know, how to like really treat women, how to like talk to women, how to respect women, and, you know, and just be that kind of guy, you know.
Okay, so I'm starting to like you again. That's a good thing. Can you tell me about the auditioning process? We were talking to Raven about the vibe in the room. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Dawn Raven, about the vibe. I'd have nicknamed you and everything, girl. You don't even know. You like my little sister. About the vibe in the room during the auditions and what was it like going in meeting with Michael?
So it's funny. So how my process went. So funny thing, outside of acting, I'm an event producer. So I throw and I host events all around Los Angeles. And Mike has always been a good friend of mine. And I didn't know that they were like making a movie or anything, but he pulled up on me at one of my events. He was like, man, Justin, man, I need to just, you got time to sit down? And I say, they brought the script out. They had the check out. They had everything out. And I was like, hey, yo, what is, I'm at work right now. But he was like, man, like, look, man, we've been auditioning people and I just, my heart just been on you, bro. My heart just been on you. I just feel like you know this role, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is you, just womanizing version of you, you know what I'm saying? So he just really like laid it out pretty clear. So I was like, okay, well, let me look into it. He's like, only thing is, man, if you get this role, man, we shooting like 10 days. I was like, oh, man. But if you think you can do it, man, I'm down. I'm like, man, all right. I'm up to the challenge, though. And so, but it was actually a fun audition process, even like getting to do auditions with like Dawn and Jessica Caesar, you know, doing like the Kim Reese was fun. That's always a fun part, you know, and just even like seeing other people's auditions, it's like, yo, like, that was my first time really being in a casting room and actually being able to be behind the camera, like seeing other people's auditions. Mm-hmm. And you realize like how many good auditions people actually get on film. Like, yeah. You think that sometimes you just like the only one that did good. No, you got like hundreds of people that did great. You know what I'm saying? So then you get to see like, sometimes it's just a matter of specifics, you know? So it's just like, we want this person, but he's got to be this tall, or she's got to have this type of hair, you know?
But so they don't tell you that. That's not on paper. As an actress, it took me 20 years to get in the room and see it from the other side. And seeing it from the other side for the first time was so enlightening. And it was the first time I was able to stop taking things personally. Right. Because I always thought, oh, I didn't get it because I wasn't good enough, or oh, maybe I wasn't pretty enough, or maybe my boobs weren't big enough, or maybe they were too big, or you know, you have this weight that you carry as an actor of why you didn't get it. Sitting on the other side, did you get to learn a lot? And what are like three key things that you really learned by watching other people?
It was fun. It was definitely fun because there's a lot of people that even did bad, terrible auditions, but you like them and their personality so much, it's like, oh, but I want that person to be the character, you know what I'm saying? Like, this person just walking into the scene is him, that's our character. But then maybe the acting just kind of fell short. So that was one thing. It's like there's a whole reverse of it. Like, sometimes it's just like, yo, this person is the character, like, just kind of flat out. Dynamics of just the energy and how you come in the room and like how you like how you hit, like that's what I always call it, like how you hit when you first come in the room. What's your energy like? You know, are you kind? Are you doing too much? You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. But always when you have a good personality and fun and just like kind of lighthearted, like just how to win the room. That's a big thing. I think what else did I learn? I learned that it's a long process. Yeah. It's definitely a long process. It's kind of grueling, but it's fun.
I want to talk to you guys, all three of you, about the vibe on the set. There's a scene, and I have to go back to it, Dawn, where you and Dawn are in the club, right? Mm-hmm. And when the scene starts, it's very endearing. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's very endearing, and it's very enlightening, and it's loving. And then we see your little fucking ass become very manipulative. And you see, I'm passionate about this because I watched you change into someone behind her back that we never, and I'm saying we because I'm that's like my sister while I'm watching this, we never thought that you could be. Where the hell did he come from? Because I didn't see him coming.
I had to channel my inner dirtbag, you know. My inner college days, you know, don't get me twisted, you know what I'm saying? I done definitely been a ladies man for sure at some point in my life. But honestly, I think that it's one thing that I wanted to really bring to the table, that if I am going to be this type of guy, I still want people to understand that I do truly care about Lexi. Like, I think that dynamic was like seen throughout, like it was very genuine. I wanted to be genuine every time we were on set together, you know. And then But I just have this vice of other women that is just like almost like a night and day thing that will just come on when I see something I want. And I think a lot of people right now are a victim of that. You know what I'm saying? So many options. I think that's a big thing in dating these days. It's like everybody's got too many options. Everybody's looking for the next best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can just settle down and just, well, this guy's got more money, or this guy's taller, or this person this or that. You know what I'm saying? Well, this girl's got bigger boobs, nicer ass, or she's got more Instagram followers. It gets really ridiculous these days. You know what I'm saying? So in this instance, it was more about, okay, Raven's character was just a little bit more established, and I kind of saw the vibe of like, oh, we look good together on paper. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to kind of like really flip that narrative and just become that, you know, and really kind of sell that version of it.
Michael, the second half of that scene that I'm talking about where he becomes a complete dirtbag, right? When you saw the flip, because even his eyes, his face, everything about him changed. What were you thinking sitting on the other side of that camera?
I got the right one. I got the right one. I handpicked Justin. He did it. He did his job. He dug deep. He dug from somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't know where he dug one, but he pulled from, somewhere.
Well, you,
and he got,
you know,
it.
What? It's he funny because it. I definitely think that, you know, just in being in a dating world, right? You know, you have your girlfriend, you're comfortable with her, but everything else becomes a script. You know what I'm saying? Everything, every time you go to a girl in the club, a new girl, it's always a script. It's like, all right, I see her, I see something she's got on before I even walk up to her. Like, I gotta have these punchlines. Even if she says it, like, which punchline is this? At some point in the scene, she's like, okay, which is this, punchline number one or two? You know, how many times have you used this line on somebody? Because
yeah,
you do have like a rundown. So I kind of wanted to give it that. It's like, you know, like, this is the rundown. Hopefully this works, this hits. And I'm gonna stay persistent until I get this girl. And then, you know, Mike and Alexis, they always was like, yo, we gonna trigger the women with this, and they gonna hate you. We need you to be that guy that when people watch, they're like, oh, I can't stand this. You know what I'm saying? So
it did it for me. Like, I'm just not, you know, my temperature is just starting to go down. I'm just starting to like you again.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, it's amazing when you have somebody in this business that believes in you, right? And Michael believed in you from day one, and I questioned him. I want to let you know. I was like, okay, I know who he is. I've seen him on the Brandy begging and pleading video. He was the cute basketball player in, you know, Beyonce formation and everything. And that's cute. But what makes you think that he could carry a whole movie? And he said, Cherry, he got it. And I was like, are you sure? Because being cute ain't enough.
It ain't enough.
And well, he was like, he got it. I'm sorry, go ahead. Michael.
I'm gonna step in this. So like when I was staying in North Hollywood, I used to run into Jason, like Justin, like going to like what 24-hour fitness or whatever. Then sometimes we'll stop by the spot because, you know, it had that little Texas vibe up in there. And I'm gonna end up working with that dude. We got a nice little vibe with him. And then we got this script and me and Lexi were just going back and forth. I said, bro, dude, we need is from Texas. I'm telling you, who you talking about? Justin. New show. That was it. And then we went to the club. He didn't even know. We was already watching him. We were just watching him. You know what I'm saying? We were just watching. He didn't even know. He thought we was in there partying and stuff. We were like watching him. And then we came back and brought you that script. But you was already being set up. But like, I was like, dude, that dude fit this. I'm telling you. And sometimes it just came natural. I think you did a wonderful, all of y'all, really, all of y'all did a wonderful job, man. And I'm glad y'all trusted me. I know with independent films, it can be a little shaky. I don't know if y'all thought it was going to come out to look kind of like it did or not, but y'all been getting some good reviews. I don't really just talk about it a lot, but like y'all been getting some really good reviews on the acting and everything. So
Michael, I went yesterday. I did a deep dive into like seeing like reviews and stuff because Justin was like, I want to know what people have been saying. So I'm really good with the social media trying to find stuff, right? So
okay.
I saw a girl, she did like a YouTube critique of it, you know, she kind of spoke about it, and you know, Facebook has those like new Tubi movie you know, where they have those groups that people talk about current movies, and I've literally seen nothing but positive feedback and people like really enjoying the movie. And like I was telling Justin, I've had friends I haven't seen in years that are writing me like, oh, I see you on Tubi, oh, I'm watching it. So it's been cool.
Man, appreciate that, man. That's good. Y'all getting that love, and I hope y'all just continue to just keep going up.
Yeah,
no, for sure, man. That's the same thing over here. Just random people just sending me photos and like watching you right now. Mm-hmm. It's just that dynamic. It's crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you worry, like, are people going to support me like that? Like, you know, I know people are so used to seeing me in the party world, but it's like, are they going to really like? I feel like people are looking at it just to see if he can even act. You know what I'm saying?
And you did. You killed it. You made me totally proud. I'm a believer. I told Michael, thank you for not second guessing your gut, because I tried to make him. He truly believed in you. And when I watched, I got to see why.
And I appreciate that, man. I think that a lot of times, you know, for me, in any industry that I've been in, whether it was music and you know, fashion and art, and then like coming into acting, you know, I spent like, I didn't take those days lightly doing like the Brandy video or the LMA ones or the J-Lo or any of that. I was like, well, I guess if this is God kind of telling me to get into this industry, I should take this seriously, because it was not a my call thing. It was like something that was kind of given to me. So I was like, all right, God, if this is where we're going, I'm going to take it seriously. So I started taking classes before I was ever even auditioning. I just wanted to learn the craft, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, my first class was Dustin Felder, you know, God rest his soul. He was my first acting coach, you know what I'm saying? So from that point on, even at the point where I was like, I can't even afford acting classes no more. I was auditing every class I was going. Then I found like acting troops to be a part of, and then just started hanging with a lot of homies that were doing skits and just independent projects. And just kind of went from there. But I definitely was like, I'm going to learn this crap first, because I don't want to just be a pretty face. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I'm a big critic. I love film. I love television. I love watching shows. And so it's like, I don't want to be that critic that can't act. You know what I'm saying?
No, you did great. You did great. Thank you. Truly proud. What's next?
And that means a lot coming from you. You know what I'm saying? With your career, man. So I really, really do appreciate that. So for me, what's next is that I'm actually shooting my first project. And so that's where I'm at right now. We just came about an hour out of LA to scout some locations for my film. It's going to be called Worm. So I can't give too much information on it right now, but just know that we'll be doing this interview again.
You know, I love it.
Really excited about it. It's going to be an amazing project that the world didn't even know they needed.
Congratulations. Is
this a full feature?
So we're shooting it as a short for a pilot pitch, but we already got people that are very interested in it just based on what the story is about. So
congratulations. Yeah,
I think that, you know, being on set, like even just like with Michael and then trusting me, making me a producer on the project, like it would just like open my eyes to like, you know what, I can really do this. You know, and because I've always had film ideas, I've always been a creative. I went to school for art. I'm a painter. I'm a drawer. You know, I draw. And so I've always had things and like visions in my head. I write children's stories, you know what I'm saying? Adventure stories, sci-fi. So I've always like, I'm like a kid at heart, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, man, but you know how that is when you're like, oh, well, I didn't go to school for this. I didn't go to like, I don't know. If I'm stepping on other people's toes, just trying to get into this industry. And I think just being a part of this film and watching Michael do it and watching other friends, Don do it, you know, come from playing in the WNBA to like killing it right now in film. Like, I'm like, okay, God, you're telling me like I can do this. You know what I'm saying? It's been so many affirmations that trust you, trust myself, trust my judgment, trust my skill set, trust my creativity. And that's now what I'm doing. And I have a whole team behind me that's like, you know, we trust your vision, bro. We're going to get this thing done. You know, so I'm so excited about that.
Well, I'm a fan, and I can't wait to watch it.
Fun fact, Cherry actually was, I was actually trying to get Cherry to play, what is her name? Raven. But she was a little we was ready to go, put it like that. So
I was working this, on something else.
Yeah, it could have went another way. So
But you know what? It's like, as an actor, right? You see something that could have been yours, but that was never mine.
Yeah.
It was not mine. Like it did it. Yeah. It, not that I didn't want the job, because that's one that I did want, but it was hers. That was not my job. And the, it would, she was so good. Like, I'm watching it, right? And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have did that. It's like Baby Boy, right? I auditioned for Baby Boy and I thought I really wanted the part. And I my heart was really hurt when I didn't get it. But then I saw it. I wasn't sucking my thumb like Taraji. That wasn't my job.
Yeah.
Jody, that's not me. So that was not my job. When I saw Taraji, I was like, oh baby, that's your job.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so when I watch this, I'm like, oh, that wasn't my job. So yeah. Everybody gets what they're supposed to have 100%. For a reason. Dawn, what's next for you?
So this has been a big year for me. So I booked on Tyler Perry's 6888, which is a great story about the 6,888th Battalion.
I passed on the audition.
Really?
That's the one he was telling me about. Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just wasn't for me. It just wasn't.
They just went into post on that.
Wow.
It was not that it wasn't good, not nothing, but it just wasn't for me. Yeah. Congratulations, because that's a big one.
Yes. So that's coming out later this year. A show on All Black about Lynn Toler's life, the judge Lynn Toler. She's doing a story about her life. That's coming out. And then right now I'm shooting on BET's Black Hamptons, which was the fans wanted that back. They actually canceled that show after 4 episodes, but they just vie for it to come back. So we've started shooting season 2.
Congratulations. Well, look, I'm a fan.
Work.
So I'm going to be watching you.
Please. That would be great. That's amazing to hear.
Yes, and I would love to have you guys all back. Michael, before I let you go, like, I'm all up in your business, so I'll be knowing, but tell the people what you got coming next, King of Tubi.
All right. Well, you know, we got the documentary. We got the Jerry Curl documentary. It get deeper than that, you know what I'm saying? But that's the main thing. Then, of course, for him starring you.
That's right. He gave me a job, you guys.
You forgot.
Congrats.
Yeah, you forgot. I got a couple things. Busy year.
I'm a watcher.
But you know, me, I'm a fan of y'all. I like to kind of sit back and watch. So I'm waiting to see all those projects. So I know what I got going. I'm ready to see y'all stuff. That's what I like doing. I like watching y'all.
He is. I've never met someone who really champions their friends and champions the people that he loves, like Michael, to the point where, like, when people do stuff, Michael is inboxing me. Did you watch such and such? I don't watch nothing, Michael. Michael's like, but you gotta watch this one. Post this real quick. And I'm like, okay.
I've had a couple castings reach out to me because of Michael. So they're like, oh, we heard about you from Michael. We'd love to bring you in for these things. And Michael's like, hey, I got somebody reaching out. So yeah, I love that. We know anybody that champions behind you in this industry is somebody that you like to stick next to, because that is
for sure.
And he does. Yeah. I want you guys to know that I knew about you before I watched the film. It's nothing but love. And he does. He talks about the people that he believes in those rooms when most people don't speak up. Yeah. He's one of the people that I know that is always like, hey, I got this person. Hey, what about this person? I work with this person. And just his spirit is amazing. So I can't wait to watch you guys all grow and continue working. I'm a huge fan, and I'm sorry, Justin. I be nice to you now.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Be nice to me. You know what I'm saying? I didn't do it. But I did have a question for you. Like, I kind of like, you know, I heard you say, like, when you do particular auditions, like, you know, something's not for you. How do you know when something's not for you?
So we all have goals, right? Mm-hmm. And we all have things that we want to say. And for me at this point in my career, it's going to be really hard for anything that I do to ever trump Punky Brewster or Family Matters. So right. I'm not looking for anything to trump those roles, but what I am particularly looking for is something that's different, something that I've never done, and something that's not going to hold Black women behind as a whole, something that is going to move us forward as people, and something that's meaningful. Like, I don't want that job where they're just going to be like, oh yeah, she was a camp, she did that, but it's not anything that anybody's going to remember. I know that sounds crazy, but it's kind of like, let somebody else have that job who really wants to work and give me something that I, you know, whether the audience remembers it or not, it's for them, but it's not, my journey is not about them. My journey is about me. So it has to be a character that I'm like, ooh, I could bring something to that, you know, something that I will remember for the rest of my journeys. Right. And if it's not something that I'm going to remember for the rest of my journeys, it's to be somebody else's job.
Yeah. That's good.
I love that.
Yeah,
I can't wait to get to that place. You know, sometimes you're in a space where you just like, okay, I just want to put myself out there. I want to build, obviously, without selling yourself short and accepting anything. Right. But, you know, roles that, you know, you just want to show that you have the chops to be able to create these characters, right, in this space.
And you know? Sometimes we just need a job. And that's okay, yeah. too. Yeah. You know, but there's something like, I'm not going to get naked. I got naked for Michael. But that was a trust thing. Look at my like, wait a minute, how would that? I'm talking about the movie Behind the Pole. That didn't come out right because I just be saying the movie Behind the Pole. Like, hey, like that. So I don't do topless or nudity, right? It's just something that I don't do. I have a daughter and I don't want her to do it. So I'm not going to do it unless it changes, like, you know, her kids, future, then mommy might get naked. Somebody better hurry up because these titties ain't sitting the way they used to. But I got naked for Michael and Michael promised me, he was like, you know, you're not comfortable with nipple. I won't get it. I have no duct tape or nothing. Usually I would sabotage the whole situation, but I didn't have to do that with him. He promised me, you know, he's like, I was comfortable with side boob, under boob, but no, you know, nipple. And he promised me that he wouldn't get anything that I wasn't comfortable with. And he made a comfortable situation for me. And he, I don't even think you show too much side boob.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe he did, but whatever he showed.
It worked.
I was comfortable though. And I've never once did I feel exposed or excited or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that's important to me. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Will you guys come back and talk
Absolutely.
About
it? Anytime, once a week. When are you doing?
I love it. And besides from the podcast, I hope that I do get the opportunity to work with both of you. Well, all three of you.
Yeah. We do. We're speaking into existence right now.
Manifestation. I believe in it.
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really feeling the part too.
Just people off are this. Asking about the street. Look, man, the street is talking.
I'm feeling the part too. look, Justin ready. Look, he going
Hey, Justin got to get ready for that one. He got to get ready.
Believe it or not. So Cherry, Justin gave, you know, he pulled us to the side. He gave us a lot of like input on certain things. I like that because he got it good. I told him, I said, bro, you're going to wind up being a director. I told him. But he was like, you know me, I listen.
Right.
Because he got a certain style to him. So I was like, all right, let's try that out. And so I really valued his opinion a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He gave really both of them. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't have that. Of course, y'all used to model and stuff. So I don't have that kind of taste.
You guys killed it.
Yeah. So they got a certain type of art eye, whatever. So I like, I'm going to kind of leave that to y'all. Y'all, I'm going to kind of follow y'all lead. Like I told Justin today, I'm like, I'm going to follow your lead on that. I'm not good at that like you are. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But he gave a lot of input, believe it or not. So I was like, yeah, we got to bring him in like some type of producer. So because I want to give people their credit, you know what I'm saying? And I credit him for that. He had a lot of input, believe it or not. And he not even just sticking his chest out about it. Like, I'm speaking, telling you, I'm not going to hold that in. I'm going to give him his credit. Like, he gave us a lot of input.
Oh, Lincoln Blake. Can we give a shout out to my boy Lincoln? I saw him in a movie.
Oh, yeah, Detective. Yeah, Detective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know.
They did great. The detectives did great.
They did.
Jessica Vanessa, that's my dog. It's like my second project with Jessica Vanessa, and she's killing it right now. She just had a project drop. I think it's called Dance for Me on BET Plus.
Yep, on BET Plus.
She's a hottie.
Yeah, she's killing it too. So,
have she seen the movie or the trailer or whatnot? Because I haven't had a chance. Yeah. I reached out to y'all first. I haven't reached out to her yet, but I am.
No, I know she just had two projects dropping simultaneously. So I know she's kind of like facing, but she's been seeing it. She's been like telling me about it and everything. So.
And she's like a badass martial artist too, right?
Yeah.
I was stalking her Instagram page. That's yeah.
She's been into the stunt world. I was trying to, she said she was going to get me in there too. So well, that box. So I'm trying to get everything else going.
Amazing.
Nice.
Well, I will see you guys soon, I hope.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having us.
Are you kidding me? Thank you for coming. Thank you for getting up. And
for sure. It's great.
We're actors. We love being on screen.
See, I don't. Only when I'm getting paid.
See you.
Thank you, guys.
What up, Cherry? Heard across the world. Welcome to Cherry's World. The world, welcome to Cherry's world, representing for every girl. Welcome to Cherry's world, representing for every girl. Welcome to Cherry's world.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.